Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the UFO Casters Captain Scarlet, and this is Spectrum Strikes Back. Now, my recollection of this episode before rewatching it this time was that this is one of the good ones. And having watched it again, it's rubbish. This really did disappoint. But before I go through all the stuff about why it's rubbish, I will say a word or two about why it's good. One of those is that this is a first real attempt, I think, at some continuity in the show. Obviously, we've talked before about the fact that the first two episodes are the first two episodes. Winged Assassin has to follow on from the Mistrons, but that's just because it's Captain Scarlet's first mission post becoming indestructible. Whereas this, if you're following the Blu-ray order, this is a sequel to four episodes ago, Operation Time, in that they're basically building on what they've discovered about the Mistrons. So from that point of view, it's an interesting idea of saying, okay, we've discovered that Mistrons are impervious to X-rays, we've discovered that they can be electrocuted, so we're going to build a detector and a gun around that. So that's a good idea. It's just that the execution of the idea is just not very good. And this is a really padded episode. It begins with a scene of one of the angels flying back to Cloud Base and landing, and then them kind of going, where is everybody? Oh, they're off on a mission. And there is absolutely no reason for that scene to be there other than to get the episode up to length. And even then, it takes ages for the episode to actually get going. We have the sort of fake suspense of, oh, who's going to shoot Captain Scarlet in this game reserve? Oh, it's one of the Spectrum guards. Okay. Creating extra suspense. And I think part of the reason why the episode doesn't really work very well is because it's not one where the Mistrons have given a threat at the beginning. So it abandons the general format of the show, which is opening titles give us some context for what the Mistrons are going to do. Whereas with this, because this is about Spectrum Strikes Back, the title of the episode, the Mistrons aren't actually making a threat here. They're just saying, oh, you're never going to discover our secrets, no, 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 no. And so it just takes a while for the Mistrons to actually do anything. Which in this case is Captain Black turning up, making Captain Indigo a Mistron, who's then going to go, right, we're going to squash all these people and kill them. And then this is another of those pieces of Gerry Anderson architecture designed to kill you. Watching this as a kid, the idea of a building descending into the floor and then going back up and then being able to squash them, it's quite an exciting idea. And that's where the suspense in the episode comes from. Obviously, you know they're going to escape because Colonel White and Captain Blue are down there. But it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, in the same way that Ed Straker's office makes no sense. Like, when you see Ed Straker's office going down, you can see out the window, which sort of defeats the point of the fact that he has a secret lift office. So this is not an issue just for this episode, but it feels particularly rubbish in this sense, in that you've still got a lift that goes up and down, because that facilitates the plot. And then you've got this extra floor that comes out of the side. But where, I mean, so it doesn't even, like, physically quite make sense either as to kind of quite how this building works or why it's a sensible thing to have. And any observer would be able to see it going up and down. So it's not even secret. There's also the other question of why are they even having the meeting here anyway? Why not just have it on Cloud Base? It feels really contrived to do that. I did laugh at the X-ray duck joke at the end because I'd forgotten about that. So I guess it did manage to raise a smile. But other than that, it was very disappointing. And I suppose the other word to say, and this is not a criticism of Spectrum Strikes Back, because it's not the fault of Spectrum Strikes Back what then happens in the rest of the series, but if I recall correctly, the Mistron gun is never seen again, and we have previous to this episode seen Mistrons get shot with regular weapons and not get up again. So there's almost an element of, again, as the plot requires. And a pistol is much more compact and exciting than the cumbersome Mistron gun. So I can see why it didn't catch on, but it kind of makes this episode superfluous in that sense. And then the Mistron detector, as far as I recall, it's only ever seen once again in the heart of New York, and it is a very key plot element there, so that's useful. I can't remember, and I will no doubt discover if it turns up again. Oh, and it does look very silly. It basically looks like the front of a car, which is a bit odd. Anyway, that's an aesthetic thing. And maybe I'm just being overpicky now at this point. Basically, what I'm saying is this could have been a really good episode if it had been structured around something else. I read something online suggesting that it could have been the Mistrons trying to stop the creation of these devices. Because at this point, they've been made. So even if they the Mistrons kill all these people, which I suppose is a win for the Mistrons. The designs, one assumes, the designs for these devices exist elsewhere, so it's not like the Mistrons are stopping Spectrum from having these devices. It's just a case of, oh, can they squash a bunch of dignitaries in a basement? So this has gone from, in my memory, being quite a good episode to, on this rewatch, being exceedingly poor. And I'm hoping that next week's episode, Avalanche, will not suffer the same fate. I don't think it will. And now it's time for this week's Spectrum Agent Report. This week, hearing from my brother John.
So, Spectrum Strikes Back, an episode which I was expecting to enjoy more than I ultimately did, unfortunately. It uses principles which were discovered in Operation Time, one of my favourite episodes originally, and applies them well in terms of the new inventions. But the rest of the story just doesn't work for me anymore. We start with a bit of padding. We do learn that the Angels have this 4 hours on, 4 hours off system, which seems to be quite intense and which they're not happy about. And then we appear at the sort of game reserve where Captain Scarlet and Blue are taking it easy. But they've got him without security seeming to be aware of them being there. And then they just announce themselves as Mr. Panther and Mr. Bear, which is a bit random, really. And then they go off to the hunting lodge where they'll be assured of a good meal, apparently. And not a very interesting code word, but maybe more realistic and fits into conversation more than others. Then Colonel White comes along on his own, and although they're supposed to be incognito, they're all still wearing their correct colours, along with their sort of safari suits. And then we have the lodge moving up and down, which I liked when I was younger. And now I'm just going, well, how does that all work? Because when half the lodge goes back up again with Captain Indigo, a replica room comes out from somewhere else on the side, but that's gone down with everything else as well originally, because we don't see half a room left behind. And then obviously when they start getting squashed to death, there's an issue with how they've designed it, in that the master switch is upstairs in the bit that is the bit that can do the danger and cause problems, rather than being downstairs. So all of that just comes across as quite silly, because you wouldn't design anything like that. However, I do like the Mysteron detector, although quite why it looks like the front of a car is a mystery. And I like the way that the guy who's using it to take the picture then gets a bit confused, and that's what allows Captain Indigo to escape. And the other guy then goes, oh, you just press this, and oh, out pops a picture, and you realise that he's become a Mysteron. And that's where I thought that the episode could have been improved. If you hadn't already just seen that Captain Indigo had been Mysteronized, it would have been a great surprise to find that he was like that, whereas the audience already know what they're going to see on the photo. I was expecting that when Captain Scarlet fires the electric ray gun, you'd actually see a ray, but no, that's sadly not there. That was obviously beyond the special effects of the time. And that's probably one of the last Captain Scarlet episodes that I can particularly remember. And I don't really know whether in future episodes they made much use of those two technologies or not. So this wasn't as successful a rewatching as the initial pilot episode was, unfortunately.
And if you'd like to be a Spectrum agent in a future episode, please visit ufocast.co.uk/captain to sign up for one of the remaining slots. Before I sign off, let's just do the usual stuff. So this is episode 9 on DVD order, so very similar to where we are on the Blu-ray. 15 on the VHS, so it took them a while to strike back if you were watching on the VHS tapes. Again, no Mistron still at large apart from the usual Captain Black, because the whole plot of the Mistron gun killing off Captain Indigo. Poor Captain Indigo. It's probably the least served captain in the whole of the series. And I suppose, is it a win or a loss? I suppose it's a win, apart from the loss of Captain Indigo. But generally, in any episode where I say that Spectrum have won, somebody will die because the Mistrons take people over. So I'm not counting that as against them. So on the Mistron Puppet Gallery on the website, you will see Captain Indigo being added this week. Head over to ufocast.co.uk to have a look at that. And as I said, next week we will be back with Avalanche.